Welcome back to the OU Daily Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Rabbi David Parter from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's call on Thursday, Chol HaMoed Sukkot, the 20th day of the month of Tishrei. Moedim L'Simcha. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors, in particular the Schwartz family for their continued support, and whose name are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. Please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's email is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to introduce Rabbi Daniel Milner, Mor D'Asra of Congregation Tiferet Israel in Austin, Texas, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Milner slowly reciting our daily three chapters of Tehillim, Parak 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Misha Berach L'Cholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Milner to learn more about his wonderful community. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker. The Chavod, with great honor, Rabbi Milner.
Thank you so much. It's a true honor and a privilege to be speaking with you all today. And really, my deepest sense of gratitude to the Orthodox Union for all of the incredible work that they're doing. Continue to do in connecting communities, not only physically, but in moments like this spiritually. So Yasher Koach to all of you and all of the hard work that you do. As we find ourselves in the last days of Sukkot, I wanted to just take a moment to talk a bit about the symbol of the sukkah. The sukkah is unique among Jewish symbols because the sukkah not only requires us to physically enter a space, it requires us to dwell in it. For 7 days, we're commanded to physically uproot ourselves from the comfort and security of our homes and throw ourselves into makeshift structures whose only strength is that its walls can withstand a ruach metsuya, an average breeze. In a sense, the sukkah forces us to embrace our feelings of insecurity and enter into a world of fragility, which could be dismantled by a single gust of wind. Now, why does the Torah command this of us? According to the Rashbam, one reason is, as the Torah itself says, so that we shouldn't say in our hearts, Kochi va'otzim yadi atali etachayel hazer. You shouldn't say that my own power and the might of my own hand have won all of this wealth for me. Rather, v'zecharta et Hashem elokecha, ki hu hanoten lecha koach lasot chayel. You should remember that Hashem is the one who gives you strength to make progress. So at the time of year, the season of ingathering, when we should be sitting on our laurels, we're commanded to extricate ourselves from feelings of pride in our success, because we have to remember that any achievement we accomplish in life is only made possible by Hashem's chesed. But I think there's another reason. Now, one of the greatest feelings of accomplishment a Jew can have is feeling spiritually uplifted after the Yomim Noraim. At the final blast of the shofar on Yom Kippur, we leave feeling elated, knowing Hashem has forgiven us. But all the time and energy that we've spent working on ourselves spiritually from Elul throughout Yom Kippur can ironically make us feel spiritually arrogant, spiritually immune, thinking to ourselves that now we've succeeded this Yom Kippur, now that we've received a good judgment, Hashem would never take that away from us. So we're done working on ourselves. So we're commanded to immediately plunge ourselves back into the world of physicality, into a world of instability, as if to teach us that the spiritual successes we thought we've achieved on Yom Kippur are only as valid as our ability to carry those lessons we've learned back with us into the real physical world. Leaving our homes and entering Sukkot teaches us that even though we've achieved kapara, even though we now feel spiritually fortified, we have to remember that the slightest breeze, the slightest distraction, the slightest error in judgment or action could take it all away. And so dwelling in Sukkot not only reminds us of Hashem's grandeur, but of our own spiritual frailties and the need to be ever vigilant in making sure we don't become spiritually haughty, but remain spiritually humble, and to be secure in that humility as we dwell in a physical world which is constantly shaking around us. So in the waning days of Sukkot, let's just take a moment to consider that we dwell in them because we're deliberately reminding ourselves that the strength of our spirituality, the strength of our relationships with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and with each other can only really be proven when we find ourselves at our most vulnerable points and in the most vulnerable of places. And so my bracha for all of us is that this Sukkot really be a time of reflecting on these relationships. And with the help of each other, with the chesed of Hashem, we should be able to rejoice in finding our sturdy spiritual centers to anchor us for this new year, which, please God, should be one of happiness, one of prosperity and achdut, one of good health for us, for Klal Yisrael, and for Kol Yoshvei Tevel. We continue with reciting the first of the three Tehillim that we'll say, Perek Chaf Gimel, chapter 23. Mizmor le David, Adonai roi lo echzar, Ino deshe yarbitzeni, Ame menucho dina aleni, Nafshi yeshovev yancheni b'magle tzedek leman shemo, Gam ki elech v'geitz al mavet, lo ira ra ki ata imadi, Shiftecha u'mishantecha hema yenach amuni, Tarok lefanai shulchan, Neged zorerai, Yishanta v'shemen roshi koti revayai, Achto v'chesed yirdefuni kol yemechayai, V'shavti b'veit Adonai li'orech yamim. We continue with the next psalm, chapter 121, Kuf Chaf Aleph. Shir l'malot, Esa enai el ha'arim, Main yavo ezri, Ezri me'im Adonai, Ose shamayim ba'aretz, al yitein lamod raglecha, al yanum shomerecha, hinei lo yanum v'lo yishan, shomer Yisrael, Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilcha, yad yiminecha, yomam hashemesh lo yakecha, v'yareach balayla, Adonai yishmerecha mikol ra, yishmor et nafshecha, Adonai yishmor tez chavoecha, me'atav yad olam. And lastly, we turn to chapter 130, Kuf Lamed. Shir hamalot mimamakim karaticha Adonai, Adonai shima bekoli, tiena oznecha kashuvot lekol tachnunai, im avonot tishmorya Adonai miyamod, ki imcha hatzlicha leman tivarei, kiviti Adonai, kiveta nafshi, belidvaro hochalti, Nafshi l'Adonai mishomrim l'boker, shomrim l'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut. Ve'u yifteh et Yisrael mikol avonotav. We continue with the Mishaberach l'cholin. Mishaberach avoteinu Avraham Yitzchak v'Yakov, Moshe v'Aaron David u'Shlomo, hu yivarech v'yirachei et hacholim. Avursha Nakum Mipalim Baburam Hagadosh Baruchu Yimele Rachamim Aleihem Lachmimam Rabotam Lachazikam Lachayotam Bishlach Lehem Mehera Refuash Lemam Neshamayim Lechol Ivarehem Lechol Gidehem Betoshar Chole Yisrael Refuata Nefesh Refuata Guf Hashtav Agalaviz Mankariv and Omar Amen. And we conclude with a recitation of Achenu. Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael Hanetunim Betzara Uvishivya Haomdim Ben Bayam Uven Bayavasha Makom Yirachem Aleihem Yotiyem Mitzara Lirvacha Umi'afela Leora Umi'shibu Legula Hashtav Aglaviz Mankariv and Omar Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Milner. As we transition into the next segment of our call, I have to start with how are you, your family, and community doing?
Thank you. Baruch Hashem, we're doing well. My wife and children are well. Obviously, there's challenges to everything, but thank God we're well. Everyone is healthy. As far as the community, you know, I'm also a chaplain in the Air National Guard with the 149th Fighter Wing, which is based in Lackland and San Antonio. So I actually really have two communities that I care for, and they're both very, very different. And modulating between the two can be something of a challenge, but I have a wonderful religious support team at my wing, and we've been able to care for our airmen, whether that's helping our airmen and their families who have contracted COVID or have had financial difficulties because of COVID, emotional and spiritual crises. You know, we've seen divorces, we've seen difficulties with deployments. So meeting those needs has been something of a challenge, but we've persevered and succeeded. And my shul community, you know, Baruch Hashem, thank God, everyone is doing well. Bli Ayin Hara, no one's been infected with COVID, and the community spirit is very, very high. So thank God, we're all doing well.
Baruch Hashem. I'm sure a lot of us on the call are curious about your chaplaincy, but I'd also like to ask you about your, for those who are on the call not familiar with your community, could you please share with us a brief overview of the shul and the community?
Absolutely. So the name of my congregation is Congregation Tiferet Israel, and I'll tell you a little bit about, we're in Austin, Texas, and I'll tell you a little bit about the larger community here, and then I'll talk about the shul specifically. So Jewish life in Austin is growing every day. I think that the Jewish population here has doubled in the last decade alone, and I think, don't quote me on this, but I think the number of Jews in Austin is now at about 25,000 or so. Again, don't quote me. But being a tech hub with a thriving economy, as well as being the location of the University of Texas, you know, Austin has really become a desirable location for families to relocate from all over the country. So that said, the Orthodox community specifically is pretty close-knit. My shul, Congregation Tiferet Israel, we're the only modern Orthodox shul in town, but there are two Chabads, and there's also a thriving Orthodox Jewish student life at the UT campus that has wonderful, wonderful rabbis there. As far as the community schools and things go here, we have a Chabad school, and we also have the Austin Jewish Academy, which is a pluralistic day school, and we're actually working with them to try to expand their Jewish curriculum in a way which can better embrace Orthodox students and Orthodox families. Our shul currently, we're at right around 100 family units. It's an incredibly active shul, and we're very, very grateful for that. And it's a wonderful place that's filled with committed people. Our building, the physical structure that we daven in, is actually the oldest active Orthodox shul in Texas. It was built in 1893 in a place called Brenham, which is about halfway between Austin and Houston. So to make a long story short, and you can see the whole story in a documentary on our website, but really like the last two active Jews in Brenham, two people, a married couple, Leon and Mimi Tobin, made a deal with the CEO of Shalom Austin, and in 2015, they physically, literally moved the shul from Brenham to Austin. So they cut it into three pieces, and they transported it on the back of trucks to the Dell Jewish Community Campus, which is where we're situated. And one of the things that's so wonderful about it, and one of the things that our shul takes particular pride in, is that every time we come here, every time we daven, we learn, or we come to celebrate, or we come to comfort one another, we do so in accordance with the original Kavana of its founder's vision, and that is to have a thriving Orthodox community in Central Texas. So we have a wonderful community here, and it's one that I'm very proud of and one that I'm honored and humbled to lead and to serve. And just thank you for letting me share a little bit about that.
Yeah, of course. For those who are just calling in, we're speaking with Rabbi Daniel Milner. This is the Mordasha of Congregation Tiferet Israel in Austin, Texas. Rabbi Milner, the world has changed dramatically as a result of the pandemic. Change is and will be everywhere. So what communal changes do you anticipate for yours, your community, and the broader Jewish community in general?
I think there's we'll see two primary communal changes, and I think that we can anticipate. One is actually, I think, attitudinal, and the other one is practical. One of the things that I've seen since the pandemic really began impacting our lives, and I speak with colleagues that have had the same experience, I've seen a serious renewed desire to be in shul, to see people, to daven together, and to really take advantage of the emphasis that Judaism places on the need and importance of community, even beyond certain halakhic, requirements and obligations like Kriyat HaTorah and Kaddish. So I think one change we'll see is a renewed spirit and a redoubled effort to show enthusiasm for being Jewish, for going to shul, and for really appreciating community. But the second change is practical. I think about it kind of like after 9/11, things won't go back to what we would have called normal, to the way things were. Even after COVID ends, and please God, it should end quickly, it should end soon, I think there'll be certain remnants of it which will linger. I think we'll continue to see face masks, particularly among the more at-risk populations. I think social distancing will continue to be factored into shul events and larger Jewish organizational events. I think a heightened emphasis on hygiene will remain a priority in shuls, and will, as will crowd sizes. So the way that we think about events, the way that we think about services, I think it will continue to have an impact. Also, our shul leadership, which has been truly exemplary during these very difficult times, formed a medical committee. And I think that this is in addition to shul leadership and to shul life, which will be a permanent committee. So I think that consulting with medical experts and things, I think that will be more, part of shul leadership. But another practical change that I think we'll see is actually quite positive. For our shul, at least, we used to do all of our shiurim, everything was in person. Now, obviously, we've had to move everything, really since March, we've had to move everything to Zoom. And I think that has really enabled us to reach many more people. And this is a lesson that we've learned that we'll implement even post-COVID. So finding alternative ways to reach people, to bring Torah into the homes and lives of those who are physically distant is something that we've seen the benefits of and something that we'll continue to make use of.
Ezra Shishem, so I'm curious, talking about how shul's changed and and what's going to be durable and it lasting and what's not. We have Simchas Torah coming up. It's going to be very, very different for everybody in different ways. How did you work things out for the first days in your community for Sukkot, and what are your plans as of now for Simchas Torah?
Things worked out well, Baruch Hashem. We, like many shuls, we have an online registration in advance of any service, if it's Shabbos or if it's Yom Tov. So we can know that we have a minion, we know who's coming. And although we've had to modify the service somewhat in order to accommodate time concerns, everything really worked out well. We do daven indoors, in our shul, and that's a small place to begin with. So we're really vigilant about the amount of time that we share together, just out of an abundance of caution, even with social distance seating. But really, finding that delicate balance between expediency and experience, between the doing things to get what we need to get done, but also providing that spiritual experience that people are looking forward to and people deserve. That's a real challenge, and I think it's a challenge that many shuls face. And it's one that my community has really, taken on, has risen to the occasion and met the challenge of. So the first days went very well. Now for Simchat Torah, we're obviously not going to be able to celebrate the way that we used to. I think that's everybody's in that same boat. However, after I looked at some of the literature and guidance that was put out by the OU and the RCA, which was really enlightening and very helpful in speaking with other people. We've asked the congregants to share short Divrei Torah, a thought or a reflection on either the Chag or what Torah means to them, really about anything that they find meaningful about Judaism, about Torah. And if they can't be physically present due to health concerns, if they have to stay home, they can have their thoughts shared publicly by somebody else. And really the idea is to bring everybody's personality into the shul. And so that's something that we're going to be doing for each hakafa. For the hakafas, we're planning on being outside. We have a parking lot outside. So we will be able to sing and dance a little bit, but obviously it's going to be different. It's not going to be the singing and the dancing that we used to do being close to people. So we'll be able to do that somewhat, as long as we're outside. But we all know that things are going to be different this year. And as a show, you know, we all have the mindset to focus on the positive and to really enjoy the Chag together.
Yeah, Mirz Hashem. Rabbi Milner, thank you so much for being on the call today and providing us with a picture of your wonderful community. As they are with all of Klal Yisrael and the entire world, our thoughts and prayers are with you and your tehillah for continued bracha, success, and good health. We hope and pray Amen. That all of our collective efforts, for safety, strength, and the refuah for all those in need will be answered letzuba, and may the Ribono Shel Olam, the Master of the World, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Friday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for words of inspiration from Rabbi Ron Yitzchak Eisenman of Congregation Ahavas Israeli in Passaic, New Jersey. This concludes today's call. This is Rabbi David Pardo filling in for the wonderful Nathalie Herman. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day. Moedim L'Simcha.